This is Issues and Ideas, a program of local people, issues, and events on the Central Coast. I'm Marisa Waddell. Coming up today, midwives help usher new lives into this world. We'll learn about women who catch babies. Also, travel writer Tom Wilmer takes us to Oklahoma City on the anniversary of the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building. And Larry Rutter talks with Kara Blakesley about Wild Cherry Canyon, a land preservation project that could greatly expand the scenic and recreational offerings of the Central Coast. That's all coming up this hour on Issues and Ideas. Babies are born every day on the Central Coast, some in hospitals, some at birth centers, and some at home. And a lot of them are born with the help of a midwife. Today on the program, women who catch babies. My guests are Jennifer Stover, co-founder and current president of the Birth and Baby Resource Network, a doula,
That's right.
A birth educator. And also with me, Shayna Adams, a mother, aspiring midwife and doula in training. She's the chair of the Midwifery Project coming up as a part of the Birth and Baby Fair on May 5th in San Luis Obispo. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And in a bit, we'll talk about the Birth and Baby Resource Network and the fair. But first, let's talk a little bit about midwives. The International Day of the Midwife is coming up on May 5th to coincide with the Birth and Baby Fair. And Jennifer, what exactly is a midwife?
Well, a midwife is a person who guides and supports a woman through pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum period. She also might be doing well woman annual care, and she is skilled in all of the things that she would need for doing that safely and beautifully with women.
Safely and beautifully. I like that you use the word beautifully.
Because most midwives look at the whole birth process, and when I say the birth process, I don't mean just the day that the baby is coming. I mean from beginning to end, that whole year's worth of having a baby, because we tend to look at the next several months also as being part of that process. So after the baby's come is just as important. And they look at it in certainly more holistic an attitude, and they take into account not only the woman's medical situation, but her emotional situation, her psychological situation, and all of her support system. And she helps the woman through all of those avenues. So it's a very different kind of relationship than a woman typically has with a doctor during that process. And actually, Shayna might want to talk a little bit about her relationship and how that grew with her midwife.
Yeah, can you tell me your story? Shayna, you just had a baby in January.
Yes, he was born on the new year. So my initial desire to seek out a midwife for my prenatal care and the birth of my baby was all from a desire to have freedom and to have respect as a pregnant and birthing woman, and not be treated as if I was experiencing a pathological condition, rather just a normal life event. And I wanted the ability to go through my pregnancy and my labor and my birth the way I wanted to, and be treated as a healthy woman that was bringing a baby into the world, not sick. So I found my midwife, and it was an amazing experience. Every prenatal visit we had, we spent more than an hour together. She spent a lot of time getting to know me, getting to know my baby, feeling my belly, and doing all the normal things people would expect at a prenatal visit at a doctor, checking my blood pressure. I had to pee in a cup. So it's a very normal experience, just like you would expect any prenatal visit to be.
Did you have your baby at home, or did you have your baby in a birthing center?
I had my baby at home. He was born in a pool of water that we had set up in my bedroom, and it was very relaxing. It was exactly how I had hoped it would look. And everything just went just like Jennifer said, beautifully. And through my experience with my midwife, I know now that birth can be beautiful, not the normal sort of picture that we have of women in pain and babies, you know, screaming and crying and being smacked on the butt. You know, it really is an extremely beautiful process, and midwives allow women to have that experience.
So no bright lights and stainless steel and...
No, not at all. Just the dim lights in my bedroom. I got to set it up the exact way that I wanted. And any kind of midwife, whether it's a traditional midwife, a licensed midwife, or a CNM in a hospital or birth center or at home, is going to allow you that freedom to set up your environment the way that you want and be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, tell me about... Now, you had a baby a while ago.
Yes, I did. My son is almost 22. Mm-hmm. He was born here in the county also, but I chose to use two of the certified nurse midwives who were practicing at that time with Dr. Johnson and Richards, and my son was born at Sierra Vista Hospital. And I can't say that it was beautiful in the way that Shana speaks of her birth, because at a certain point in my birth, things weren't happening the way that we had all planned and imagined. But I can say that if it wasn't for my midwife, I know that I would have had a cesarean section, and that she was brave enough and skilled enough to walk through some really difficult places with me in the hospital and end up being triumphant that I had my son vaginally. So I owe her a huge debt.
Yeah, that's you bring up an interesting point about what happens if there is an emergency. Is it important for a woman to be near a hospital just in case something goes wrong?
Okay, well, first, let me clarify, though, because my son's situation wasn't an emergency. It was a slowly unfolding difficulty. And that's typically, if there's a glitch, that's typically what it is. It's not typically a life and death immediate emergency that's happening. And midwives are really skilled at assessing throughout the process, through the pregnancy, through the labor, and through the birth, where are they at as far as the health of the mother and the baby, and making sure that things are still traveling in the right direction. And they carry many of the same, the home birth midwives carry many of the same emergency things. So they have oxygen for mothers and babies. They have medication if the mother begins to bleed. There's lots of things that people don't think that can be done that actually can be done at home, which help to make it safer. And the reality is, sadly enough, that even women who have babies in a hospital with a doctor, there are times when nobody can do anything fast enough. That's the reality that nobody in America wants to face. They want to make this assumption that if they're in a hospital where there is something right down the hall, that something right down the hall will be fast enough. And the reality is that it won't always be fast enough. So it doesn't really matter where you choose to birth your baby. There's always going to be some risk, and each couple has to decide what risk feels comfortable to them.
Shana, you are a doula in training. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what is a doula? We heard about what a midwife is, but what does a doula do?
Well, a doula is emotional and physical and educational support for a birthing woman, pregnant woman. During her pregnancy, what that looks like is typically a doula will meet with her and her partner and any other people supporting her to work on any sort of things that any sort of ideas that she has about her pregnancy and birth. They'll work out a birth plan. As any pregnant woman knows, you're faced with myriad decisions about your care and your baby's immediate care after they're born. Doulas help guide through those decisions and offer educational resources for things like that. When the woman goes into labor, a doula will typically come to her whenever she wants her and will offer emotional and physical support and help her uphold her plan for her birth, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. That's Shayna Adams, and I'm also speaking with Jennifer Stover of the Birth and Baby Resource Network. Jennifer, I'm curious about certification and the legal and business side of midwifery.
The easy thing to talk about, the quick thing, is the doula part. You can become certified there, but there are a variety of organizations that will certify. It doesn't have any legal standing. There's nothing that actually backs that certification. And because you're not a healthcare provider, you are not, this is not a medical license, and you should not be dispensing medical information to your clients or making decisions for them. A doula is not responsible in that way for her clients. A midwife is. And because a midwife is, they have had to go through a variety of processes. So it's a really interesting and fascinating women's issue if you study midwifery, its history, and where it's, how it's interacted with our culture at different times. But currently, we have two main ways that midwives are recognized. So one would be the certified nurse midwife. She would have gone completely through nursing school and have her RN license. And then on top of that, she will have continued through the midwifery program. And so she is then a legally board certified midwife. The other way is our licensed midwives, and they also can, they go through their variety of options of programs, ways to go about doing the studies. There are formal schools, but there are also ways to do it more through an apprenticeship type model, although they still have to be connected to some kind of school, and they have to get their skills, their hands-on skills, by being proctored with a recognized licensed midwife. They then can sit for their boards, and if they pass those boards, they become legally licensed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's licensing. What else about the business of midwifery, like working in a hospital setting versus working in homes, for instance?
The business of midwifery is a huge topic, but let's just say again that the struggle of midwifery has been, and it and still is, the recognition part. It's an ongoing legal struggle to get autonomy, to get recognition that midwives have the right and the ability to be providing the care that they are, and that consumers have the right to utilize midwives. It's an ongoing fight in every single setting, I think. In the hospital, it's different because it's legal, but they have to work under the umbrella of supervising doctors, so they are not autonomous in the hospital. Outside the hospital, they're in a difficult situation here in California because although they're legally licensed, again, they don't have the respect from, I would like to call them their peers in the birth community, which are the doctors, and they don't have the respect or accommodation of insurance companies and other kinds of issues that make it problematic for the consumer and for the midwife.
So you're going to be celebrating midwives coming up on May 5th. It's the Birth and Baby Fair, which is in the San Luis Obispo Mission Plaza.
Right.
That's 10 to 3. And then as a part of the Birth and Baby Fair, Shayna, you are organizing a special honoring of midwives. Tell me about that.
Yes. We have been saying that finally, after years and years, the stars have aligned and the Birth and Baby Fair in San Luis Obispo has landed on the International Day of the Midwife. And so we are going full force with this, and we are launching a complete project to show how much we just love and appreciate our local midwives and what they have done to serve our community over the years. So we will have a booth at the fair dedicated to this project. We are creating an interactive art installment that day. It's going to be a large tree, and we have been asking families around our county to register the names of their babies that have been born into the hands of midwives. Each leaf on that tree will represent one of those babies. And so we have a blog at dayofthemidwifeslow.blogspot.com. People have been registering their babies' names already on there. And they can also come by the day of the fair at our booth and fill out their own leaf with their baby's name, and we will put it up on the tree. And this tree will be presented to our midwives that day. We'll also filling out thank you notes for our midwives. Each family will be doing that. And we'll also have a beautiful display of all the tools that midwives come with to their births, such things like their oxygen tanks and their IV equipment and books and textbooks and requirements that they have to get licensed, just to educate the public a little bit about what exactly a midwife is and what sort of skills they come with.
We just have a couple of minutes left, Jennifer, and we haven't really talked much about the Birth and Baby Resource Network, but I would like to say that it's the Birth and Baby Resource Network that's putting on the Birth and Baby Fair. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. This is our 16th annual. Mm-hmm. And every year we have different co-sponsors. This year it happens to be French Family Birthing Center and Sierra Vista Birth Center and Community Health Centers. And they're helping us to be able to create a really great fair this year. So we're going to have all the regular things that we usually have, car seat safety checks and, you know, fun things like the musical petting zoo and entertainment, fun things for the family, lots of information, lots of booths with vendors. So there's plenty of things to buy, plenty of things to do. On top of that, we've got the formal ceremony that will happen for the midwives that will be happening at 10:30 at the fair, where all the midwives have been invited. I'm hoping we're going to have a good group of midwives. They're fascinating women when you start talking to them, and the things, even the ones that aren't practicing midwifery anymore, have gone on and done such interesting and fascinating things with their lives. They're just really wonderful, powerful women. And so there's something about midwives. I don't know. Anyway, and so that's one of the reasons why, you know, the Birth and Baby Resource Network certainly has a big part of our heart in midwifery. From the beginning, there were always midwives that were members. There's never been a year when we didn't have a midwife, at least one, that was a member of the organization. So, and we've always supported the midwives of our community. We feel that's because our mission has to do with getting out information to families. We educate families so that we can empower them to make the best choices for themselves. And one of the choices that we want to encourage them to at least look into and get educated on is midwifery. And so that's why it dovetails so beautifully into what we do and what we're all about. So we do a free monthly event every month, but the birth fair is our premier event, and this midwifery project is like the creme de la creme of the baby fair. So I'm really excited about it.
It's our baby.
Yeah, it is. Another thing women will be able to do that day at the booth is answer the question, how has a midwife impacted your life, on camera. And we're videoing this, and it will go on our blog as a permanent history project, a log. It's really important for women not to lose this piece of womanhood. Midwifery is a big piece of womanhood, and it needs to be honored that way. Just as the birth piece is big, the midwifery piece is equally big, actually.
So if someone wants to know more information about the Birth and Baby Resource Network or the upcoming Birth and Baby Fair on May 5th in the Mission Plaza in San Luis Obispo, where does one get that information?
Oh, it's so easy. I'm so glad you asked. Go to www.bbrn.org. We made it as easy as we could. So www.bbrn.org. On there, you'll be able to learn all about the organization. You'll be able to learn how to become a member if you want, what's going on as far as our monthly events. We have a resource guide that you can go to. You can go to the Baby Fair page. You can go to the silent auction that's part of the Baby Fair and find out what's happening with that. And you can get on the Midwifery Project and get connected right away and start just becoming part of that community. I think people are going to be amazed when they look around. This is what I want. I want, when this tree is done, that people will be shocked at how many leaves there are on it. Because when you count up the babies that have been caught by midwives in this county over the years, it's in the thousands. But nobody really knows that. And so we wanted to be able to present that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer Stover and Shayna Adams of the Birth and Baby Resource Network.
Thank you.
I'm Marisa Waddell. This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX. Coming up, we'll learn about a land preservation project that could greatly expand the scenic and recreational offerings of the Central Coast. Later at 5 o'clock on All Things Considered, a remembrance of entertainment icon Dick Clark, who died today at age 82. First, a visit to the Oklahoma City National Memorial and Museum with travel writer Tom Wilmer.